Bullock Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe, so bare. Look out.
Hey, good morning and welcome. It is Chuck-a-Buck in the Mornings here on this Thursday. Sports Radio 950 KJR, America's favorite radio station. Former Mariner Bucky Jacobson is here. Ashley Ryan is here. My name is Chuck Powell. I am here. And we have 4 hours of terrific radio planned for you today. Taking you till 10 o'clock, talking some football, talking some basketball, talking some baseball, all sorts of things. And frankly, I think that we just start by celebrating the fact that we weren't locked out of work today. That's the first celebration there, Bucky.
Yeah, right on. I agree with that. I mean, Ashley, we do know Ashley's here, right? So she isn't locked out.
You didn't get locked out.
I was going to say, speak for yourselves. I'm in the parking lot.
Oh, she. Wow, overachiever. She'll be able to produce from the parking lot. Look at you.
I had to climb up the roof. I had to put a wire in through a vent.
Oh, wow.
And then I.
Wow. Mission impossible.
It's a ramshackle setup I got here.
Very Ethan Hunty. I've always said that about you.
Yes, I've always said that about myself.
Is that even you, or do you have a Chris Kidd mask on?
See, you'll never know.
Yeah. What's going on over there?
You'll never know.
So we did get locked out today, and yet we still fought to get out on the playing field, so to speak. Look at that.
That's right. I don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
We're gamers. Real gamers we are.
And let's face it, the reason that we go to work every day is because we get paid $325 million over the course of 10 years, each one of us.
Yep.
And so...
Oh. My family's set for life.
Yeah, so we really, I mean, we work hard because we don't really have anything to complain about. And you know, the people that write our checks for us, they can write a $325 million check to us, and yet they can complain they don't have any money either. But we still fight to get on the playing field, so that makes us different than some people.
Yeah. Well, I deposited my $325 million check the other day. And the only reason I don't have all of that money in my bank account is because the bank's got a hold on it just to make sure.
Yeah,
so it's not in my available funds
right now.
But it's there.
And you don't even, but you're like committed to the job, though.
Yep,
so you decided to come to work anyway.
Yeah, they're like, you're locked out. And I was like, well, I could stay home and sleep.
Right.
Or
right.
I could go jimmy rig a setup and make this happen.
Yeah. If you can't detect the sarcasm, you're pretty slow. We're laying it on thick. We're laying it on really thick right now because we make about a combined $14,000 a year.
That much?
So, So we're talking about the Major League Baseball lockout that has taken place. And before, you know, people, that's baseball for you. It's been since 1995 since there's been a lockout. It's not like something that has haunted the sport for the last, 30 years. It is something that did haunt the sport before the turn of the century. It had happened too frequently. There were too many of these work stoppages that took place, and it nearly killed the game once upon a time, but it has been a long time. They did learn their lesson from that. And yet, Bucky, here we sit, baseball having survived the COVID year where they were used as guinea pigs by the other professional sports, and somehow they figured out a way to have a season, albeit a very short one, one that the fans could not attend, in essence, for nearly the entire year. And they've managed their way through that. Then they got back out onto the field for a full season this past year. The fans came back. They had a financial windfall this past year. And they committed over the course of 1 week of time in the offseason $2.5 billion in contract money, guaranteed money that they have committed. Doesn't sound like a sport or a business that is unhealthy, and yet they reach a collective bargaining stalemate. The agreement has expired, and neither side is willing to budge really on one issue, one damn issue. They're not willing to budge on either way. And here we are facing another labor stoppage at this point. It just, to me, seems inconceivable. It really does.
Yeah, well, we saw it coming, right? I don't know for sure. I mean, this is when the collective bargaining agreement expired, and so if you don't have a new one set in place, then a lot of times right now is when they'll just be negotiating. They don't necessarily lock out. Well, the owners have decided that timing-wise, that, well, if they're not going to budge on the issues that are at hand, you know, primarily the free agency arbitration, that thing, if they're not going to budge on that, then we're going to just do a work stoppage. We're going to close it down to where they can't come to any of the facilities. And it's kind of a, well, then you can't come to my house. You can't come to my place. The whole thing is just silly. I mean, it's figure out how to get back out there. I think that there is the one thing I do like about it. I don't like anything about it, but the one thing I do like about it is the idea that if they do this little preemptive move of we're going to lock out now, that hopefully it can keep from delaying spring training or potentially, God forbid, delaying or canceling any games in the regular season. That's what I'm hoping for, but I don't know for sure if you're scaring the Players Association by putting some lockout in preemptively.
Well, it's just nonsense. I mean, all of it is just nonsense because, okay, number one, you're right, that we're not missing any games right now. We're not missing any practice. We're going to have our off-season excitement here in Seattle put on hold for a while because no agreements can be reached. No baseball activity can take place until this thing is lifted. So this off-season that we couldn't wait for as, you know, Mariner fans is going to be delayed. At least we got a Robbie Ray and an Adam Frazier in before the deadline hit. But who knows when they're going to reactivate the sucker. And so until they do, we don't get any other moves. We don't get any fun hot stove activity that's going to take place until they lift this. And there are people out there, including Buster Olney, I just heard this morning, that are fearful that this thing is going to go not only into spring training, but is going to affect the regular season as well. And so there's certainly some fear that's out there. But as of right now, December 2nd, 2021, we're not missing anything. We're not really missing anything tangible. This is part of the negotiation process. And the owners do this to try to, I guess, suggest in the universe that, okay, the pressure's on you now. All right, you're going to have to come around because we're not talking right now. And we're closing the doors. It really amounts to a hill of farts is what it amounts to. It's no big deal. They could just as easily open the doors at 6:09 this morning, at 6:07 right now, and start negotiations again. And we've got months to figure this out before you actually hit spring training. So it's more of like a gesture. It's part of the negotiation process. The problem with it all is that we've seen what happens. And they'll sit on the sidelines. Neither one of them will budge. And then at the midnight hour of spring training, finally Tony Clark will get off his ass and go see Rob Manfred, and he'll begrudgingly open the doors, and they'll sit at a negotiation table, and they'll start at 11:57 the night before spring training, which is absurd. And so this is the frustrating part for sports fans everywhere, for people that hate baseball, for people that love baseball. This is the frustrating part, is that they are so determined. These two entities, particularly in sports, Major League Baseball owners and far more than them, Major League Baseball players are so determined to win these things that they don't even look at reason. They just will drive by reason until they get their way. I mean, they are the 13-year-old spoiled brat standing in the corner who got a Mercedes for her 13th birthday, not even 16th, her 13th birthday, and is angry that she didn't get a Bentley. You know, that's the Baseball Players Association, that's the owners, and this is what we have to deal with every single time that there is something to discuss, and it's just nonsense. Don't close the damn doors. Keep them open. Put a deadline on yourself. Look what we got with a deadline and how many players got signed here over the course of the last couple of weeks. Put a deadline on yourself of now. Do it like, hey, let's do this before Christmas. And then maybe we don't have to worry about it in February.
All right. Yeah, because ultimately both sides want to have baseball. I mean, the owners don't want to lose out on it. The players don't want to lose out on all that is to be lost if you can't come to grips with, can't come to terms on some sort of collective bargaining agreement. So they both want the same thing. It's just they just don't trust each other. I mean, there's so much water under the bridge of one side making the other side look bad, and it's already started out. I mean, Manfred came out with a letter yesterday writing, you know, well, here's, we think that we have this offer out on the table that is fair and is good for everyone, and they just, they came with no compromise.
Yeah.
They just don't want to compromise, and so it's like that type of thing doesn't help the whole negotiating process. Like, I mean, that's the part that irritates me. Well, that's, I mean, the part that Manfred just doesn't even like baseball irritates me the most, but that's the part where it's like, how do you expect them to come to the table to start having negotiations about important issues about within the confines of the business of baseball when you're just basically right off the bat preemptively locking the doors because you think that this will get the job done sooner? Ooh, we scared them now. We got them now, right?
Yeah.
And then telling the public that, okay, they're the only spoiled brats in this room.
Right.
You know, it's like, no. You realize that you're speaking on behalf of people that don't do anything. I mean, I shouldn't say they don't do anything. Okay, they're the billionaire owners. They do something. They've earned. Well, some of them have earned what they got. Some of them had it given to them. But the players that are going out there and playing and doing the actual entertaining part of it are saying, "Hey, give us some more revenue," or "Hey, let's make some adjustments to the gameplay or the playoffs," or "Let's make us not be free agents," or "Let's make us not have to play for 6 years before we actually can explore free agency," and whatever the terms are. And yet the owners are coming out through Rob Manfred, the mouthpiece, and saying, "Ah, well, we have a great plan here," and they're just obstinate. They just will not listen to reason at all, and so you start painting each other in bad light like that, and all of a sudden, yeah, then next thing you know, they just don't even want to talk to each other. So you got two millionaires or billionaires pouting in opposite sides of the room and just not coming to any agreement. So it's just annoying.
The players are the 16-year-old that didn't get the car that she wanted for her birthday. The owners are the, all they want to do is, it's your fault. It's your fault.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, they're the, hey, yeah, I know things are a mess, but it's their fault. They just want, they want the public to, like, side with them. I don't know what that stems from, but that's the owner's role in all of this. They're doing it. Look, there's one issue here on the table. There's one, and if you can't overcome this, then you deserve damage done to your sport. As much as we don't want it, you deserve damage done to your sport. If you can't figure this out, players want to become free agents earlier. And I mentioned this, and we'll have the Stove podcast out a little bit later on today, but I mentioned this on the Stove podcast yesterday. Players, for them, they want to become free agents earlier because the owners have decided that we have figured out your little game. We're signing 32-year-old free agents to 10-year deals, and we only get 3 years out of them that's worth a damn. We're not going to do that anymore. And it's smart. That's good business. That's what you should have recognized. You were dumb to have signed those contracts in the past. And now you've wised up. And now the players are like, oh, wait. Okay, if you're going to do that to us, then how about we become free agents earlier? If you're going to tell us that our prime is earlier, then we want to become free agents earlier. So shave a year off of our service time. We get to become now free agents after 5 years. And then, if you don't want to pay us at 35, you don't want to pay us at 35. But you're going to pay us at 25. You're not going to get it both ways. That's the issue. And that seems very reasonable. And I think that the owners should come around on that. And instead, what they end up doing is, you know, the players are showing up at the carnival, and they want to ride the Ferris wheel. And the owners are like, how about playing this little game of bottles? If you knock them down, you can get this 6-foot-tall stuffed animal elephant. No. I don't want to carry around a stuffed animal elephant around the carnival all day long. I just want to ride the Ferris wheel. I got a new girlfriend. We want to make out on the top. You know, we want to ride the Ferris wheel. What about the Gravitron? This is a fun ride over here. No, it's going to shake the crap out of me, and I'm going to throw up all over the girl I'm trying to impress, and all I want to do is kiss her on the top of the Ferris wheel. And the owner's like, ah, okay, fine, fine, fine. Well, why don't you come over here, and you can have some funnel cake, you know, or a fried butter stick. Only a billion calories per serving. No, I don't want a damn butter stick. I want to make out with the girl on top of the Ferris wheel. That's why we're here. And so they keep trying to figure out ways to, well, we're here, have expanded playoffs. Here, have all-you-can-eat Skittles. Here, have this, have that. And the player's like, no, there's one issue. Just give us that, and everything else is going to get fixed. And I think that sounds very reasonable from my standpoint, Bucky, and yet we're going to end up with a three-month-long, perhaps longer, work stoppage before all is said and done.
Yeah, well, it is reasonable, and I get why the owners don't want to do it. But on the flip side of it, you like you said, you can't have it both ways. The move that they have made, the adjustment that had nothing to do with the collective bargaining agreement,
yes,
is just something that during the last collective bargaining agreement, the players basically had to deal with the fact that the owners wisened up to the idea of, I'm not going to give a 31-year-old guy a 10-year contract because he's proven right now that at 31, you know, from 25 to 31, he was one of the best players in the game. And so I'm going to pay him $25 million a year for the next 10 years, even though now I'm realizing he's going to be crap 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41. He's not going to be any good. And so I don't want to be paying him that. So they stopped doing that. Okay, well, that's not a bad... As baseball players, we can't fault the ownership for realizing a mistake that they were making.
It's bad business.
Okay, fine. Bad business. So you want to wise up on that? That's fine. Well, you can't then cut the back end of careers off or presumably stop paying the silly money that you were paying to people when they weren't going to be that good anymore and still make it to where it's 6 years in the big leagues. It's hard to get to the big leagues. It's hard to stay in the big leagues for 6 years before you can end up making any money. And it's 3 years essentially before you get to arbitration. But regardless, you got to cut some of that front end time down if you're going to take away the back end time. If you're going to say, well, we're just not overpaying for guys past their prime, regardless of whether or not the market used to say that they had earned it, we're not going to do it anymore. You got to give and take somewhere. And yet we're already in this, we don't want to do what they want us to do. And so you just have a couple pouty little babies standing on opposite sides of the room with their arms crossed saying, well, I'm just not going to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, the Players Association are sitting here publicly trying to get sentiment on their side by saying, we want more balance in the league. We want all the teams to be more competitive. And it's like, well, that's not going to help. What you want, that one thing, that's the only thing that's helping the small market clubs, is that they can keep a young player at a low salary for longer. And so they're also talking out of both sides of their mouth as well. And so this is it. This is why we have these labor stoppages. We have two groups of unreasonable people when a perfectly reasonable solution is out there to fix this thing and going forward. And neither one of them are missing a meal, by the way. Good Lord. $2.5 billion the owners just paid out to the players. Record-setting numbers financially, and the players are still like, man, we're getting screwed in free agency. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're both impossible. They're impossible people. If I was the person in the family, and that was mom and dad, and I was the son, I'd be like, I don't really want anything to do with you two anymore. If you can't figure this out, and if I can't come over and enjoy my time around either one of you, and all you're going to do is sit there and argue, then I'm just not going to come over anymore. And that's what they're risking right now with the sport, and particularly if they get to February and we're still discussing this. So we're going to talk more about it a little bit later on in the show, but let's find out what else is on tap for the show today.
This is Chuck and Buck's What's On Tap.
Hey, buddy, what's the deal? What are you talking about?
Brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass in Renton. Remember, it's always 420 at Buddy's. Now with What's On Tap, here's Chuck and Buck.
Well, this isn't good. UW-Arizona got postponed tonight. Some COVID issues with the Husky basketball team. So the Huskies will not make their Pac-12 debut tonight against the 11th-ranked Wildcats. So that will be, I assume, rescheduled at some point a little bit later on in the season. So we'll discuss that a little bit on the show coming up. Cougs won last night in just a god-awful basketball game, 51-29. ASU shot 21% from the field. So just 80 combined points in that game last night. 80 combined points, and a team won by 22. So there you go. That's from college basketball last night. It's college football championship weekend tomorrow night, Utah versus Oregon for the Pac-12 championship. But the entire weekend's just going to be sensational. We'll talk more about that coming up at 6:45 this morning. Also, in case you missed it yesterday, Rick Neuheisel, 5 good minutes with him coming up at 9 o'clock today. Thursday night football, the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints will do battle. The Cowboys have been a complete Jekyll and Hyde this year. We'll see which version shows up tonight against the Saints. Saints are just a little easier to solve in terms of the mystery of what they are. They're just terrible right now. And they're starting Taysom Hill at quarterback. So we're finally going to get to see Taysom Hill start a game and quarterback four quarters for the New Orleans Saints. Seahawks 49ers won't play till Sunday. Seahawks yesterday signed Adrian Peterson. We'll talk about that with our guys for the 12th man roundtable from 8 to 9. So Greg Bell, Hugh Millen, and Curtis Crabtree join us on this Thursday. And Michael Sando will be with us at 9:30 today as well. So we have a lot to discuss on today's program. But when we come back, we haven't been able to do a segment like this for a while. I'm going to throw a dinner party, and Bucky and Ashley are in charge of the groceries. We're going to celebrate Seattle's newcomers next. Sports Radio 950, KJR. Oh, is this the music you're going to play at our dinner party? Is this welcoming, welcoming the
guests? Who doesn't like to party all the time?
Yeah.
It was this or something classy.
Oh, I had to wait for the down. I didn't wait long enough or I would figure that out.
There you go. I mean, you can picture everyone walking in very sophisticated. They've got a little pep in their step.
Oh, yeah.
Shoulders are shrugging.
Yeah, our producer likes to party all the time, Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to party all the time.
Who doesn't?
Oh. I do, too.
Yeah.
Big fan of partying.
Yeah. Duh.
By the way, for those listening right now and may have never heard this song before, this is Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. One of his greatest accomplishments.
He actually can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah. He's excellent. It's a great song.
This is the best part. That's the best part of the whole song. Diamonds on your finger.
That was a little Boys to Men there. Right? all right, well, we're playing that for a reason. We haven't been able to do a segment like this for a while. And Bucky Ashley doesn't even realize that we did segments like this all the time. But since she started, man, we have had so many big topics to discuss. And there hasn't been any breathing room. So I just decided today that we're going to party all the time. We're going to have a dinner party today, and I am making you, Bucky, in charge of the meat. Ashley, you are in charge of the wine. I will be in charge of the dessert. And the idea behind this is that we got a lot of newcomers coming to Seattle, and I want to gauge your excitement level for these newcomers based on which kind of dish that you would serve them, how expensive the wine would be. That you would provide, okay, and so forth. So here we go. We're going to start with Kalen DeBoer, the brand-new head football coach for the Washington Huskies. Bucky, your options are, is he steak? Are you rolling out the steak for him? Are you going burgers and dogs or canned meat and a spoon for Kalen DeBoer? whatever you serve him is going to tell me just how excited you are about that hire. Not that you're a Husky fan, but, you know, play along. Play along.
Right. Well, actually, I mean, I want the Huskies to be competitive. I want them to be. I don't. It's not really all that fun to talk about them, right? Being it, when they're not good, when all of a sudden all you're talking about is issues that don't have to do with good football. I mean, you don't have to be a diehard Husky fan to want them to have a good hire here. So, I mean, it's not going to be steak. You know, steak is reserved for a select few. Okay. You know, over at the Jacobson Casa, we don't just throw steaks around. The ribeyes are for special guests. And so, to me, it would be burgers and dogs, but it might
burgers
be some nice, you know, some nice cheddar sausages instead of just your regular hot dogs. And, and it's going to be a good burger. It's going to be a burger with some sautéed onions and some bacon and right. some a nice melted cheese and a toasted bun. It's going to be something that he's going to thoroughly enjoy.
Because I can't wait for that.
I like the hire. I think that there's a really good chance that while it's not sexy, it's not the super splashy move out there, I think that the success that he's had everywhere that he's been and the fact that it's kind of offensive oriented, I think that it could be a good mix here at UW.
All right, Ashley, your excitement level for Kalen DeBoer is the higher. Are we going with the bottle you've been saving for a special day? Is it time for a trip to Safeway? Are we going wine in a box or just some really old Welch's grape juice that we're going to try to fool them with?
Okay, first of all, I will never serve grape juice.
Okay.
I'd have to really dislike you. I'd make the trip to Safeway and I would not shop in the one of the higher shelves. So
okay.
I'd spend
higher
probably,
shelf.
Yeah, like $35.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty okay. good.
Yeah, although I will say Costco also has an excellent wine selection, and you can save a little bit there. So I might actually go to Costco.
I'm kind of with both of you on this, only I'm not going to spruce it up. I'm just going to, you know, frozen meat patties are good enough for Kalen DeBoer, in my opinion. And I don't need to go to the top shelf. As long as I'm at Safeway, I feel like I'm getting the job done. But I'm in charge of dessert, so I'm going to give him old Halloween candy.
Really?
Yeah. Which I think is very tasty. Don't get me wrong.
But
I
how
love old
like
Halloween
just from
candy.
This last Halloween or like last year?
Yeah, just like I have some leftover Halloween. I'm not going to go out of my way to make like dessert for Kalen DeBoer. I've got something sweet here at the house.
So you're just going to hand him a snack-sized Twix and call it a day?
Pretty well. He can have two.
I got quite a bit left.
So yeah, he can have a couple, and I'll even give some to his family as well. But I'm not going to go out of my way, so they get old Halloween candy from me for dessert. All right, let's go to Robbie Ray. Ashley, I'll start with you again. Are we going that bottle we've been saving for a special day trip to Costco? We'll say wine in a box, really old grape juice.
I don't have a lot of wine that I save for a special day because it just doesn't last that long. But there is a bottle of wine that I would really like to try one day that I've never had an occasion to buy.
Okay.
And I'd probably go buy that.
You're going to go buy that?
Yeah.
Maybe not the one you're saving for, you know, the 50th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, no, not that one, no. But, like, there's a Bledsoe Cab, and I really want to try it. And it's expensive. It's actually double back is what it's called. And I'd go splurge.
Robbie Ray's coming to our dinner party. Honey, I'm going to finally use this as an excuse to buy that wine I've been wanting.
I feel like if Robbie Ray was coming to our dinner party, my husband would be like, buy two.
Got it. You know what? I've got City Hall butter cake on my list, which is the greatest dessert I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh.
But even though I love this pick, I'm Bucky's right. I'm going to reserve that for if they would have followed my plan. And they didn't.
Okay.
And yet, I'm going to give them store-bought chocolate cake. You know, I mean, I'm going to go and I'm going to get something really nice from the store, and everybody likes chocolate cake. I want Robbie to feel special. That's what I'm buying. Bucky, what are you going to serve him?
Well, I can't wait for the chocolate cake, to be honest. I'm getting him a ribeye. Now, it's not going to be from the butcher. It's not going to be the super fresh 2-inch thick. It's going to be the stuff I got from Butcher Box. It's good. It's a ribeye, but they're about an inch thick. It doesn't take very long to cook, and I'll season it up. He's going to get a steak. He's going to feel well taken care of, and hopefully he just doesn't know that the real special guests get the 2-inch thick Big Daddy.
All right, so we're kind of all in agreement. Not quite going all the way with our excitement for Robbie Ray, but we're all pretty damn excited. All right, Adrian Peterson just got added. Now, he's no good anymore. He's old as dirt, and he certainly had some controversy in his life. And yet, we're talking to one of the greatest running backs in the history of the National Football League. He's coming to the Seahawks, and he's coming over to our house for a dinner party. What are we going to serve him, Bucky, for our meal? How excited are you for Adrian Peterson? Canned meat and spoon?
Yeah, sorry, dude. I didn't got any steaks, and even the frozen burger patties.
The DeBoers ate all the burgers and the dogs.
Yeah, DeBoers
ate
the burgers.
They eat a lot.
It's gonna be just some hot dogs, some old hot
dogs.
The package has been opened. Yeah, it's
got
not
freezer
gonna be.
Burn.
It's not, I don't know even know what meat in a can is necessarily, so I'm not going to go that route because I'd have to partake in it as well, right? So I'll go some old dogs for Adrian.
Well, if you really wanted to show him you weren't very excited about him, you would eat steak and serve him canned meat in a spoon.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good steak. Yeah. Which one's mine? No, yours. You got the hot dog. Right there,
you got the sardines.
Enjoy.
Yeah, so all I got to do is just roll that thing back. They'll expose themselves.
Yes, they will.
All right, what are we serving him, Ashley?
Well, Costco has this great Pinot Grigio that's $4.99. And I enjoy drinking it, so since I'm going to also have to drink it, I'll serve him some $4.99 Pinot Grigio.
Okay, all right. I'm surprised you even went that far. I thought you would reconsider your grape juice,
No, because, again, I'd still have to buy grape juice, and they're pretty much the same price, honestly. Yeah. So a jug of grape juice versus $4.99 Pinot Grigio. Yeah, I'm going to at least buy something that I'll drink, too.
All right, so we got cheap hot dogs, cheap wine, and get ready, folks, because here comes the fruit cocktail.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what we're
going to... dessert.
That is not... It's not even dessert.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not fruit and it's not dessert.
I didn't even go to the trouble of chilling it beforehand.
Ooh, so it's just
warm,
straight out of the can.
That's right. So enjoy some fruit cocktail. Make sure you get a cherry.
Oh,
that is
the best part. Avoid the pears.
All right, final one. We haven't talked enough about this person, frankly, but he is the newest member at KJR. So Jim Moore is coming to your dinner party. He's coming to our dinner party. Ashley, what are we serving Jim Moore?
Well, here's the thing. Him being a kook, I don't know how much Jim Moore likes wine, but I would serve him one of my wine club bottles.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Good. So I'm not going to go spend $100 on a bottle, but I'll give him a $50 or $60 bottle of wine.
All right, Bucky, what's Jim Moore eating at our dinner party?
Well, I'm cooking steaks, but while I'm cooking them, I'm going to look back and I'm going to read what articles he wrote about me back in the day. And depending on that, he's either going to get a steak because I think that I like him. But if I find something that he's like, this guy sucks, he strikes out too much, he clogs the bases. If he writes something like that, he's just going to get a good swift kick in the ass and out of the house is what he's going to get.
I'm giving him a dog turd for dessert.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to KJR.
Wow. Poor
wow,
Jim. And the sad part is if Jim was sitting here right now, he'd just be smiling, laughing a little bit because he's just so
I'll
nice.
Put icing on it.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you plant like a UW
cake.
Flag in the dog turd?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. It'll be desserty, you know. I'll give him a nice, sweet dipping sauce for it.
What kind of sauce
he likes dogs?
Pairs well with
chocolate. Pink? Chocolate.
Okay.
Chocolate
I've never
sauce,
met anybody
Hershey's.
That likes dogs more than Jim Moore.
He does love
his
dogs.
He might actually like it. All right. There we go. Dinner party is concluded. I'm full. Coming up next, college football championship weekend is upcoming. What it's missing. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Morning Store.
Chuck Powell, Buggy Jacobson, Ashley Ryan with you. We're full from our dinner party. Drunk. Thanks a lot, Ashley. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You just kept filling the glass. Well, I kind of appreciate that out of a host. We've got our Major League Baseball lockout discussion. More on that coming up at 7 o'clock. Roundtable day today from 8 to 9, and Mike Sando day today as well here on this Thursday. But college football championship weekend is upcoming. It's going to be great, Bucky. It's just going to be outstanding. Every game, every matchup, I think, is very intriguing. And coming off last Saturday, which I thought was one of the best Saturdays of college football that I can remember, we got a chance to really kind of blow it out to close out the regular season / postseason in college football. But it just could be so much better. It could be so much better that if a team knew, if Oregon and Utah both knew Friday night that when they took the field, if we win this, we're in the dance. We're in the tournament like we should be, like we deserve to be. And instead, there's nothing at the end of the rainbow but some invite to some poor corporate-sponsored bowl game, you know, that I don't really give two rips about, even though some people still do. All I want to do is crown a legitimate national champion, and unfortunately, there are going to be a lot of games this weekend that don't have that to play for.
Yeah, most don't have that to play for, and that is unfortunate because they're missing an opportunity. I mean, still, it is what it is. I mean, at this point, you know, the Ducks and Utah both know they lost one too many games probably to be able to get into the dance, and so, yeah, the big picture is gone, but you still have, you know, you still want to be able to say, hey, Pac-12 champs, and so you got that to play for, but boy, it does suck that there's not something bigger on the line, you know, a shot getting into the playoffs, but until they change it from four teams, then it is what it is. You're going to have a couple teams from the SEC probably or at least one for sure, and a couple other teams that get to squeak their way into, and it's not going to be anybody from the Pac-12.
And before somebody says, Rose Bowl, oh, I remembered. I didn't forget. I don't care about the Rose. I mean, I get that there's a long tradition, and the Rose Bowl should absolutely continue, but it should be part of a playoff picture. It should not just making the Pac-12 champion shouldn't just make the Rose Bowl, and everybody thinks that, you know, oh, well, at least you got to play in the Rose Bowl. And?
Yeah, you know, it's a little short-sighted.
So I got a gift basket, and I got a gift basket, and, you know, what's the big deal about that? You know? You know, I realize I'm in the vast minority on this, but I can't stand bowl games. So until they can figure out a way to play a real NCAA tournament to determine a real national champion and not just guess at who the best four teams are in the country, then I'm never going to watch a bowl game. So that's just where I'm at. I realize I'm the only person on the island saying that, Bucky, but that's just the way I feel. And I committed myself my entire adult life to not watching bowl games for this exact cause. So that shows you how desperate I am to try to get this thing done the right way going forward, because college conference championship weekend in college football should be one of the best weekends of the entire sports year. And it's still good, don't get me wrong. It's still very good, maybe even great, but it's not special. It's not as special as it should be.
Yeah, it just could be better. I mean, really, that's the bottom line. And whenever you have something good, if you're not still looking for it to get better, then you're just kind of waiting for it to get worse. And at this point, it is what it is. You don't have much to do about it. Go out there and try to win and win your conference championship. But boy, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, boy, how could we make this better? If all these conference championship games actually meant you could get, you would have a chance to win the national championship like it should be.
Yeah, where you cut down the nets and you earned your berth into the tournament. And we're not talking about adding, like, you know, the ninth place team from the Big 12 that won the Big 12 college basketball tournament. I mean, we're talking about teams that won a division and are meeting in a championship, and they have a chance to win the conference and should get an invite to the dance, and then have a couple spots there for some at-large teams as well. That's why it should be shaped, and I don't know why it's not shaped that way. And so it misses. You miss it from this weekend and even tomorrow night's game. I mean, that should be, I'm going to watch tomorrow night, but it's not going to be as fun watching it where you realize whoever wins this gets to keep their championship dreams alive. Nope.
Yeah.
Whoever wins it is pretty much going to face all the players who are NFL draft worthy are going to try to make a decision. Should I go pro or play in the Rose Bowl? You know, that's the decision they're going to make. So how important really is that? You think there's going to be any question if you're playing for a national championship? You think there's any question in those players' minds or hearts that they're going to keep playing college football? Absolutely none. All right, coming up next. Now, Brian Kelly wouldn't want to, but the players would. All right, coming up next, we talk about the big story of the day, Major League Baseball's lockout, and how bad of timing it is for the Mariners. Sports Radio 950 KJ.